Okay, yes. Slack. Swiss Park is for Simic and the Ice.
Thank you very much for inviting me today. So today I would like to talk about sweet spot supersymmetry and LHC, which is based on works with Ryuichiro Kitano. He's now at Los Alamos. So now LHC is really, really coming soon, and LHC is trying to find the physics beyond the standard model. Among the various candidates of the beyond the standard model, the minimal supersymmetric standard model is one of the most motivated candidates for the beyond standard model physics because of the hierarchy problem and the unification of coupling and, for example, dark matter candidates. So there have been many analyses of the phenomenology of the MSSM based on the simplified version of the MSSM, such as minimal supergravity model or minimal gauge mediation models. However, the generic MSSM has too many parameters, so it is highly non-trivial to relate the observed signature and the model parameters. So to list well-motivated and simple models of the MSSM is still important work for theorists. And if the model predicts distinctive features, it's so much the better. So today, I would like to introduce our sweet spot supersymmetry, which is basically based on gauge mediation effects to the Gugino mass and matter fields, and direct couplings between Higgs sector and hidden sectors, which is introduced to the so-called mu problem. Then, as a result, we found that in our model there is no mu problem and there is no SUSY CP problem. Besides, since we assume that the gauge mediation effects to matter fields, of course there is no SUSY FCMC problem. And besides, we found that in our model we can parameterize the low energy physics by only three parameters, so our model is very simple. And as I will explain, under some reasonable assumptions, we found that the sweet spot supersymmetry predicts distinctive spectrum compared with ordinary gauge mediation scenarios. So it's also a good point of our model. And we also found that we can picture some consistent gravity in a dark matter scenario in our model. So okay, I finished the introduction. So in the next section, before going to details of the sweet spot supersymmetry, I will briefly review the SUSY breaking mechanism and mediation mechanisms. Then after that, I will explain the details of the sweet spot supersymmetry, and I will come to the LHC signatures. Then in the final section, I will explain natural gravity no dark matter scenario in our model. Okay, so before going to details of the sweet spot supersymmetry, I briefly explain the SUSY breaking mechanism. Here, I assume that the supersymmetry is mainly broken by an F-term condensation of a chiral superfield S, which consists of scalar part and Goldstein part, and F-term, which is now assuming non-vanishing. Then, in terms of this superfield S, we can write down an effective theory of the SUSY breaking sector by using these potentials, superpotential and scalar potential. Then, the linear term in the superpotential gives non-vanishing F term to S, and the quotic term in the scalar potential enhances the mass of the scalar part of S. Here, the new scale lambda can be, in some model, we can identify the new scale lambda to the dynamical scale in the hidden sector. But anyway, by assuming these potentials, we obtain non-vanishing F term and non-vanishing scalar mass and gravity mass like this. Then, when the new scale lambda is much smaller than the Planck scale, we find that the scalar mass can be much larger than the gravity mass. Then, like this. Then, if we don't care what happened beyond the scale lambda, this model is sufficient for the discussion of the low energy phenomenology. So we can discuss the physics of hidden sector below the scale lambda with this effective theory with only two parameters, gravity no mass and the new scale lambda. So now let's move on to the mediation mechanisms. Here, let's look at the origin of the gauge no mass. The origin of gauge no mass is classified by how the Suji breaking field S couples to the gauge supermultiplet in the superpotential to the function of F given here. So the mediation mechanism can be classified by in terms of this function F. So for example, in the case of gravity mediation, we simply choose a linear function of S like this. Then in this case, we obtain gauge no mass of the order of gravity no mass. However, this choice is known to cause some problems. First of all, if we assume this kind of linear potential, then it suggests that S should be neutral under any global symmetry or gauge symmetry. Otherwise, the gauge no mass is suppressed and which is inconsistent with the whole gravity mediation picture. So this choice suggests that the Suji breaking field S should be neutral under any symmetry. Then the existence of such neutral fields causes some cosmological problems such as Polonyi problem or recent Polonyi induced gravity no problem or these kind of problems. So, and these kind of problems are known to be very difficult to solve, so this choice is not so good from the point of view of cosmology. Besides, as is well known, gravity mediation scenario also suffers from Suji FCNC problem and Suji CP problem. So gravity mediation is not so good from the point of view of the perfect model. Then, on the other hand, in the case of gauge mediation, the function F is given by the logarithmic function of S. So in this case, S is not necessarily to be natural, neutral under symmetry, so we can assign some charge under some symmetry, so we can avoid the Polonyi problem. Besides, since we assume that the Kramer-Blind interaction to mediate Suji breaking effect, we can also solve the Suji FCNC problem. So in this light, gauge mediation scenario seems to have no problem. So what's wrong with the gauge mediation models? So there are two problems. They are mu problem and b mu problem. So there are two problems. Here mu problem, or mu, here mu is the supersymmetric Higgs mixing parameter in the superpotential given here. And the B mu is the Suji breaking Higgs mixing term, like that. Then, from the naturalness requirement of the electroweak symmetry breaking, both two parameters are required to be comparable to or less than the weak scale. However, it is difficult to explain why the supersymmetric parameter mu is close to the Suji breaking parameter, such as gauge no mass. So, this is a mu problem. And in many attempts to explain why mu is close to gauge no mass, end up with too large beta. So this is, the second one is the B mu problem. For example, if we introduce this kind of Kähler potential as a result of some radiative correction or something, then we can explain the mu term with mu term which is close to the gauge no mass like this. But in this case, we end up with too large B term which is inconsistent with electroweak symmetry breaking. So this problem is rather difficult to solve. And in other cases, the interactions to explain the weak scale mu term result in the supersymmetric CP problems. So if we can solve these problems, the gauge mediation scenarios can be the perfect candidate of the perfect beyond the standard model physics. So now let's move on to the sweet spot superspectrum. As I said, this model is based on gauge mediation effects to gauge no mass and matter fields and direct couplings between hidden sector and Higgs sectors, which solves which is introduced to solve new problems. Then, by using the Suji breaking field S, we can write down the potentials of the sweet spot supersymmetry like this. So, almost all information we need to discuss the low energy physics is all information are included in this potential, so our model is very simple. So now I try to explain those terms step by step. Okay. Now these terms represent the Suji breaking sector as I explained. Again, the linear term in the superpotential gives non-vanishing F term to S. Now the constant term W0 is important. This term is always required to get to obtain the flat universe after supersymmetry breaking. So in any theory with supersymmetry, we need to have constant term in the superpotential. In our case, this constant term is very important because through the supergravity effect, this constant term gives non-vanishing scalar wave of S given here, like this. So this constant term is very important in our model. Then the reason of this vacuum expectation value of the scalar part is as follows. In the supergravity, the existence of the linear term and the constant term in the superpotential results in the linear term in the scalar potential like this. So then by balancing these mass term and the linear term, we obtain non-vanishing scalar mass given here. Then since we know the size of W0 from the flat universe condition given here, so we can rewrite this condensation by using another parameter like this. Since we assume that the messenger particle of the gauge mediation obtain masses from this scalar part wave, so this mechanism is one of the most important points of our model. Okay, so now let's move on to these parts. These green parts represent the effect of gauge mediation after integrating out the messenger particle given here. So we assume that the messenger particle directly couples to the Suji breaking field by this superpotential, and messenger particles obtain mass which is proportional to the scalar wave of the scalar part of the supersymmetry breaking field S. Then by calculating this standard calculation, we obtain the standard result of the gauge mediation effect to MSSM particles given here. This is not new, but by using the model parameters given here, we can rewrite this combination by using lambda and gravity mass given here. But it's not new and the same one in the standard gauge mediation effect. Okay, so this purple line is very important. This purple line represents the direct coupling between hidden sector and Higgs sector beyond the scale lambda. Then, for example, from the first term, we obtain non-vanishing new term given here. These terms correspond to so-called Judici-Mergel mechanism in supergravity theory, now which is enhanced by the small scale lambda. The important assumption we made here is that these terms respect approximate U1 symmetry with charge assignment like this. Then, by assuming this charge assignment, we find that the B term of the B term is suppressed compared with mu term. So we can solve the B mu problem here by as a result of the approximate Petchakin symmetry.
Sorry, why does this symmetry suppress? I mean, the B term is coming from your CH, right?
CH, no, sorry, it's HU Daga and HU, so there's no.
But that's where your B mu term is coming from your CH, right? Your B mu term is coming entirely from the CH term, no?
No, because this is just a soft scalar mass to the HU.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Right.
And if we try to write down the, for example, B metal. Then we need to write down, for example, S H U H B S diagram or something,
right.
So it's much more suppressed
mm-hmm.
by this approximate symmetry.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Then, in the limit of vanishing beta, we can rotate away all the CP phases in Gaugino mass. Gaugino sector and Higgs sector, so we can solve the CP problem with this small beta, because the low energy beta is given by the radiative correction from the Gaugino mass, which is now can be real parameter, so we can solve the, we can also solve the Suji CP problem by this assumption. So this term includes very important information.
So then you predict the diaphragm beta?
Ah, yes, we have prediction to the tangent beta.
What does it turn out to be? What value is it?
Tangent beta is about 40 or 30 to 40 or something in between. I will come to later. Then, besides, the second term gives non-vanishing additional Higgs soft mass squared, which is given by the same order of the mu term. Okay. So altogether, in our sweet spot supersymmetry, Gaugino mass and scalar mass come from the green part, which represent the gauge mediation effect. Then the mu term and the additional Higgs masses are coming from this purple Juliche-Majer-like terms. Then while we assume that there is an approximate Petrakian symmetry, we find that the B term is suppressed compared with other masses. Then, by assuming that the Gaugino mass and the mu term are close and they are all around weak scale, we find that there is a sweet spot on a parameter space lambda gravity no mass plane at gut scale lambda and about 1 GeV gravity no mass. At around this point, we find that the Gaugino mass and the mu term can be weak scale. As I will explain, this choice of the parameters is strongly supported by the gravity no dark matter scenario. So we assume that in the following, these parameters are close to this sweet spot point. Okay. So this by the way, these choices correspond to the scalar wave about 10 to 14 GeV and the Suji breaking scale about 10 to 9 GeV. So now we have five free parameters. The new scale lambda and coefficients of the Juliche-Majer mechanism and the Suji breaking scale and messenger scale. So we still have five parameters. Then, since these parameters are related to mu term or Gaugino mass or gravity mass, so we can relate these parameters by using much more familiar parameters like Gaugino mass, mu term, and additional Higgs mass and gravity mass. Then, we still have five parameters, but since we know that the size of the Z boson mass, so we can exchange one of the mass parameter with the known value of Z boson mass. So in our analysis, we chose the parameter the additional Higgs mass to be eliminated. So as a result, we have four parameters. Besides, as long as the gravity mass is around 1 GeV, it doesn't change the low energy phenomenology so much. So we find that in our model, we can parameterize the low energy physics by using gravity, a Gaugino mass, and mu term, and messenger mass scale. So we can parameterize by only three parameters. Okay. So as I will come to later, gravity mass is important to the cosmology. Anyway, we have three parameters. Okay, so the interesting feature of our sweet spot supersymmetry is that it has two mediation scales. One is at the gut scale and one is at the messenger scale. Then, as I explained, at the gut scale, Newton and additional Higgs masses are generated as a result of Giudice-Majello mechanism, and they evolve down to the weak state. On the other hand, scalar mass and Gegino mass are generated at the messenger scale. Then they also evolve down to the weak state. The interesting point here is that the additional Higgs mass generated by Giudice-Majello mechanism still exists beyond the scale messenger scale. So in the course of the renormalization group evolution from gut scale to messenger scale, such additional Higgs soft mass affect other soft masses. So the spectrum can be different from the usual gauge mediation scenario because of this additional Higgs soft mass.
Can I just ask some questions? First of all,
yes?
Is it in your model, is it a coincidence that the Higgs mass generated by the Giudice-Majello type terms is the same size as the Gegino mass coming from Gegino mediation?
At this point, this is that's just a requirement, so it's coincidence. Mm-hmm.
Then another question, just
yes?
on the same slide, I think. So your the interactions at the scale lambda, it's important that you don't get similar kinds of contact terms for the squarks and sleptons.
So it depends on the model of the UV completion model of the such terms.
Right, but then
yes.
if you don't have that UV completion, you can't really say that you've addressed the flavor problem. Right.
Yes, that's right. But we have simple UV completion model, which do not result in such FCNSP problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that we can have a class of models which result in this kind of no FCNSP problem models.
Right.
Yeah,
you could put the Higgs in the bulk effectively.
Something like that. Yes. Thank you. Then, so we have two messenger scale, two mediation scale, and since because of the renormalization group effect, the spectrum can be different from ordinary gauge mediation scenario. Then, this is an example of the learning of the mass parameters. Here, the horizontal lines represent the renormalization scale. Then, at the gut scale, as I explained, mu term and additional Higgs mass are generated, and as the Higgs mass evolves down to messenger scale, it affects other scalar parameters, especially third generation masses through the renormalization group effect. So, for example, if the additional Higgs mass squared is positive at the gut scale, then the third generation masses get a negative contribution in between gut scale and messenger scale. So if the Higgs mass squared is positive at the gut scale, we predict that the light third generation particles compared with gauge mediation scenario. So before going to the prediction of our sweet spot supersymmetry, we need to know a little bit about the UV completion of the Giudice-Majello mechanism. So as I said, Giudice-Majello term represents a direct interaction between hidden sector and Higgs sector. So for example, we can produce this term by considering a simple toy model given here. Here I assume that the supersymmetry is broken by Olafati type Suji breaking model, and we assume that the Higgs directly couples to the particle in the Olafati model through Yukawa type coupling. Of course, this model is too simple, but we can make gut consistent scenario by considering specific gut models. So we believe that we can have a class of models, so we don't care the gut symmetry or something. Okay, so by assuming these super potentials and interactions, we can obtain the, for example, quotic term from this loop diagram, and mu term from this interaction, and additional Higgs mass term from these loop diagrams.
Doesn't that give you a, don't you now, I mean, that if CMU and CH are now one, don't you get an order 10 difference between
them? That's right. So we need to have some little bit strong, but not so strong, but something.
Because I mean, usually, in gate mediation, usually the mu solving the mu problem is two things, as you said. First of all, getting the mu term close to the gate genome mass.
Yes.
Right. Which is, you know, suggests that it would be, you know, it needs to be the same size as this one loop effect. But the
yes.
second part is getting B mu to be like a two loop effect. Generically, the problem
yes.
is once you succeed in getting mu to be a one loop effect, then B mu is a one loop effect and it's too big, right? And
yes.
so it seems to me like, so far anyway, that's where you are. I mean, you parameterize the problem and you can fix it by choosing parameters, but the problem is why those values come out to be the way they are. So by the usual, you know, usual definition of what it means to solve the mu problem, you haven't solved
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes, so we assume some, but if we have, for example, 3 or 5 parameters, which
sure.
is not problem.
I mean, that's the mu problem may not be a problem.
Yeah,
solving the mu problem is
yeah,
you always do that.
In
you
some
always
sense,
parameterize it.
Yeah, you're right. So in
so
some sense, we just
fun.
Parameterize, but
doesn't mean the model is wrong. But it's solving it.
Yes, thank you. It's important comment. So, but anyway, we can obtain these terms. And since we assume that these interactions respect the approximate Petrakian symmetry, here we also suppress the B origin of B mu term. Okay, so the important lesson of the perturbative or semi-perturbative UV completion of the Dirichlet-Maguire terms is that if we assume some kind of semi-perturbative UV completion of the Dirichlet-Maguire term resulting in the definite sign of the additional Higgs soft mass, which is related to the anomalous image on the wave function renormalization of Higgs fields. So we can predict the sign of additional Higgs soft mass. So as I explained, since the additional Higgs mass is positive at the gut scale, which results in light third generation masses. And as you said, since the Higgs mass squared and mu term are produced both at the one loop level, so there is a little hierarchy like this. So under the assumption that there is a semi-perturbative UV completion of the Dirichlet-Maguire mechanism, there is a little hierarchy between mu term and Higgs mass. So in some sense, this is a problem, but we don't care that this is a problem. Okay, so now they are the prediction of our model. In the left panel, I show the output of the additional Higgs mass to reproduce the known variant of the boson mass. Then for a given mu term and for a given gate genome mass and messenger scale. Then this triangle region corresponds to the model of semi-perturbative UV completion of Dirichlet-Maguire mechanism, where the additional Higgs mass is larger than mu term and the sign of them is positive at the gut scale.
Sorry, I can't.
Sorry.
On the left-hand side,
mm-hmm.
for the left thing, that's MH up, or what is that? What's the vertical axis? Yeah.
Vertical axis. Sorry. Here we assume that at the gut scale, MH up and MH down is same.
Oh, so it's the value of MH up and MH down at the gut scale.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So there is a little hierarchy. So in the perturbative UV completion model, we have larger MH up at the gut scale. Okay, so in this region, this region is consistent with the perturbative sweet spot supersymmetry. Then in the center panel, I show the prediction of tangent beta. So since the B term is small at the gut scale, so at the weak scale, B term is not so large. then as a result, we find that the tangent beta is large, about 30 to 40.
I'm sorry, the vertical axis is the new term? Or
this one is new term. Because
this is how they run. They start off with your dots, and then when you run down, they follow those lines.
Sorry, I couldn't get you.
Sorry, the lines are the RG evolution in this plane.
Sorry,
right?
It's not the RG.
I don't understand your point.
Sorry, we have three parameters, mu, term, and digital mass.
Oh, that's just marginalizing over the other parameter. That's the other parameter.
Yes, so if we change the mu parameters, we have tangent beta prediction.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry for my. Okay, so we predict rather large tangent beta. Then in the right panel, I show the prediction of the star mass. Okay, so when the mu term gets smaller, then we find that the tau is also get lighter. So there is a correlation between mu parameter and star mass. So the reason of this coincidence comes from the requirement of the successful electroweak symmetry breaking. So if we require that the Z boson mass is about 90 GeV or something, then mu term is related to the value of the Higgs mass at the weak scale. Higgs, uptype Higgs mass at the weak scale, like this. So if we require that the mu term, if we consider if the mu term gets smaller, then we need to larger uptype Higgs mass at the gut scale. Then since the additional soft mass gets larger, then the resultant star mass gets much smaller. So this is the reason of correlation between these parameters. So as a result, under some perturbative assumption of the UV completion, we find that the sweet spot supersymmetry predicts light star and light Higgs inner and large tangent beta. This is our prediction. And interestingly, star can be NLSP in wide parameter region. This is also an interesting point. Okay. So now, let's move to the LHC signatures. As I explained, we have only three parameters in our scenario. So in principle, we can reconstruct model parameters by measuring three masses in principle. So here, I performed this procedure at our benchmark point given here. At our benchmark point, star is the NLSP with mass 116 GeV, and lifetime is about 10,000 seconds. So it's stable in detector size. Then the spectrum of neutralino consists of Bino to Higgsino and Bino from light to heavy. The colored particles, the masses of the colored particle is about 1 dB, which corresponds to about 1 picobaryon Suji particle production cross section at the LHC. So now they are decay modes. The most important decay modes are Gluino, the one of the Gluino. Since the Gluino cannot decay into squawks, and since the Higgsinos are rather light in our case, so Gluino mainly decay into third generation jets. So this feature makes very difficult to analyze LHC signature. But in our case, since star is stable in detectors, so this point makes much easier to analyze. But anyway, a typical event at the LHC is many third generation jets with very low to charge tracks from the stars. But it's rather difficult to analyze. Okay, so as for the star mass measurement, since it is stable in detectors, we can use muon system. Then, by measuring charged track, we can determine the momentum of star, and by measuring time of flight, we can measure the velocity. Then, we can determine the mass of star.
Sorry, can you just remind me roughly what was your Gluino mass and what was your light squark masses?
Yes. Gluino mass is just one TeV, and squawk mass is beyond the one TeV, about 1.1 TeV or something. It's close, but there's no lighter
stop
squawk.
Mass.
A stop mass.
There. Okay.
Is here.
Why do you say this is difficult to analyze?
Ah, because just because there are many sub-generation jets which result in multi jet. But we can do that because we have.
So you have these two
tracks
that you can.
Yes, so if it
and
makes.
You're pretty good at finding tops, apparently. I mean, Jared, what did John say? Like,
that's if they have reduced
20%.
Like,
what?
He said it's high tens of percent.
High
so.
Tens of percent, sort of top tagging, roughly. It depends on what else is in
oh.
the event.
Mm-hmm.
But just finding tops, they think they could do around the 10% level,
mm-hmm.
which is not bad. I mean, right. So
but we didn't try to tag
top. But it's
top
yeah, it needs to be done by experimentalists, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just having these two low velocity charge tracks
yes.
is a huge help. So.
So we use this point.
You're saying the which? Sorry, which?
So these two low velocity charge tracks
mm-hmm.
From the chi zero
from the stable style.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, so you don't have any missing energy, so you can just.
Yes, so I don't need to say it's difficult here. I think it's misleading. So for you, maybe it's
yeah.
not so difficult problem, but
yeah, you're saying those are there even yeah in all of the events essentially.
Yeah, it's
right.
Yes.
Everything is completely reconstructible. Maybe you can work your way back.
But the point is that we should use tau, not leptons. Not mu or not electron, but tau, so this makes a little bit difficult because some energy is carried away from the neutrino as a result of the tau decay. So this point makes a little bit difficult to reconstruct. I will come to.
Okay,
so as for the star mass, we can measure very precisely, and here we simply used the result of these authors, and from their result, they found that for star with mass about 100 GeV, we can determine the star mass with an accuracy of order 110 MeV. So we can pre-construct four momentum of star. Okay, so now let's move on to the reconstruction of neutralino masses. Okay, here we tried to use tau jet four momentum as well as the free reconstructed star momentum. So, as an event selection, we selected the events with two star candidates, and we selected the event with one of them a very slow case. Okay, and we also selected the event with only one target candidate, because if we choose two target events, we have many chance to identify non-target with. We have many chance to identify fake target, so it's not so good. So we just require one target candidate. Then we generated about 43,000 SUGI event, which corresponds to about 30 inverse femtobarn at the LHC. Then after using standard trialing and selections, we found that there are 2,000 event candidates. Then this figure shows the distribution of the invariant mass of star 4 momentum and tau jet 4 momentum. Then we find that in this figure, main background comes from wrong combination of tau and star, since we don't know which star comes from which neutralino. But by choosing the combination which gives smaller invariant mass, we enhance the efficiency about up to 70% or something. And we also find in this figure there are mistagging of non-target. Here we used the value of tau tag efficiency about 50% and a mistag probability about 1%. Then, anyway, from this distribution we can see the edge structures around the two light neutralino mass. This edge structure can be understood from the distribution of the invariant mass of star 4 momentum and tau lepton 4 momentum. If we can use the tau leptons, we can reconstruct, we can obtain the peak structure since neutrinos decay into two bodies, so we can have peak structure. But in actual case, since the tau decays into neutrino, neutrino carries away some energy of tau, so as a result, these peak structure smeared like edge structures.
How do you think you can get beta gamma is less than 2.2?
The reason of this value?
Yeah, how do you do that?
We use the data from time of flight.
The time of flight can get you, can distinguish that from a speed of light particle?
Yes, this value is possible. I think it's possible because we did the same analysis with these authors and they also use this kind of value, so I don't think it's a problem.
2.2, where did this number come from?
Because we can't produce standard model events to analyze background, so we should rely on other people's result. So in their analysis,
did they use this number?
We use this number. Sorry, I think I don't get your question.
I don't know which this number means, what this number means. Why not 2.5?
Because we couldn't simulate standard model background, so we need to use other people's result. And in their papers, they use this value, and they found that we can avoid the standard model background by using this number.
Okay.
So
this is coming from some estimate of how well you can measure the delay of time of flight. So there's some number of nanoseconds that has.
Yes, I think so.
So you're saying that for these slow, slow styles,
yes,
you can actually, essentially, you can do a search where you can cut on beta gamma less than 2.2. Is that what you're saying? I'm just understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that you can do this. You can actually cut on beta gamma less than 2.2.
Yes,
but
it's
certainly
possible.
Only down to some small value, right? Eventually, so it's beta gamma around 2.2, because if it gets too slow, you're just screwed by, you know, event overlap and things like that, presumably. Is that right?
Sorry, I didn't get your
question. If beta gamma was 0.001, okay,
very slow,
you're very, very slow,
yes.
And there are many events going through the detector during the
I
time. So there must be
we
a
have
lower
also
bound
lower
bound
also about I forget the number, but that.
Yeah. Okay. So some
this
range.
Is the limit from the TDA. It's room in TDA.
This is Atlas.
Yes.
Okay.
We assume the Atlas for the detector.
But in that range, they can do a good job of measuring the time of flight for charge tracks.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Okay. So thank you much. Okay, so we selected event by this procedure. Okay, so and we can see the edge structure as a result of the smeared peak structure. Then by searching where the edges are, then we find that we can determine masses of light two stars with an accuracy of about 5%. So now we have star mass and two light neutrino mass, so we can reconstruct our model parameters, and we did so. Then we find that we can determine our parameters with an accuracy given here. Then, since we have all parameters of our model, we can make another prediction, and by measuring other masses, we can do consistency check. For example, at our benchmark point, we can we can predict the mass of heavy Higgses about 750 or something. Then by measuring tau mode or BB mode of heavy Higgses, then we can perform a non-trivial check at the LHC. So this is very exciting point for us. Okay. So finally, I explain the natural gravity in the dark matter scenario in our model. In the conventional thermally produced gravity in the scenario, to obtain the right amount of gravity in the dark matter, we need to tune the reheating temperature of the universe. However, in our model, the gravity in abundance is only determined by the decay property of the particle S. Particle S is the scalar part of the Suzy breaking field. So in our model, gravity in dark matter density does not depend on the reheating temperature. So it's much better than the conventional one, we think. Okay, so our scenario is as follows. As I explained, the scalar part of Suzy breaking field gets scalar potential given here, and mass is about weak scale. Then, during inflation, we can assume that the scalar particle gets large wave around at the gut scale. Then, after the Hubble parameter gets smaller than the mass of S, S starts oscillating about its wave, its vacuum expectation value, like this. So here, this is a schematic picture of the evolution of S. These lines are trajectories. Then during inflation, we can assume that the scalar part gets expectation value around gut scale, and when the Hubble parameter gets smaller than the mass of S, then it oscillates around its real wave. Then finally, S decays into the MSSM particles and gravitinos. Since the oscillation of S have very large amplitude, it easily dominates the energy density of the universe. So once the scalar part, scalar dominates the energy density of universe, the abundance of the gravitino is only determined by the branching ratio of the scalar particle S. In our case, the main mode of S is given by the mode into Higgs particles. And since we know the interaction between S and Higgs sector, we can calculate the decay rate by using model parameters like this. And this corresponds to about 10 MeV reheating temperature or something. 10 to 100 MeV reheating temperatures. Then we also know the interaction between gravitinon and the scalar part, so we can also calculate the branching ratio or decay rate and branching ratio of S into gravitinos. Then as a result, we can determine the dark matter density, gravitino dark matter density, by using this branching ratio. Then by using mass of S and gravitino mass, we can write down the mass density parameter of gravitino like this. And since we know we can rewrite masses by using other parameters, finally, we can obtain mass density parameter of gravitino like this. So from this result, we see that at the gut scale lambda and about 1 GeV gravitino mass, we obtain the observed value of dark matter density. And besides, it's not dependent on the reheating temperature. It's better than the conventional scenario, which requires to specific reheating temperature. And now I come to how the sweet spot is good. Okay, so altogether, as I explained, gauge mediation effect gives masses to gaugeino mass and scalar mass, like this, and we can write down by using gravitino mass and the parameter lambda, and also Giudice-Maggiello mechanism with an approximate Petrarch-Quinn symmetry result in the mu term and additional Higgs mass given by like this. And now we have gravitino dark matter density, which is also given by, which is in terms of gravitino mass and lambda. So we find that these three parameters these three parameters works well together only at the sweet spot. So for weak scale gauging mass and for weak scale Newton and observed dark matter density strongly suggests that the sweet spot is very good point. Besides, the scale lambda is since the scale lambda is close to gut scale, and since we have another motivation to gut unification, so we think that the sweet spot is really good point from many points of view. Okay, so now I summarize. So today I explained what sweet spot supersymmetry is. As I explained, it is based on gauge mediation effect and Judici-Majorelle mechanism with Petchak-Quinn symmetry. Then we find that there is no new problem and there is no Suzy-CP problem. And under some reasonable assumption, we find that the sweet spot supersymmetry results in light star and light Higgs signals. So collider signal can be different from minimal gauge mediation, so we can check the we can do non-trivial check at LHC. And since the number of parameters is small, we can fully reconstruct the model parameter at LHC. And we also find that we have successful gravity in a dark matter scenario in sweet spot supersymmetry. So that's all. Thank you very much.
What's the estimate for dark matter?
What estimate?
Yeah, like the mass.
The mass is about 1 GeV. Yes.
And that lifetime is
about 10,000. So there is no but the free streaming length is not so long, and about 1 kiloparsec or something. So it's not so great for such job.
But does that mean that the universe is matter dominated at 1,000 seconds?
Not 1,000 seconds, but 1,000 seconds is the lifetime of star. So sorry, lifetime of S is 10^-5 seconds or something. Sorry.
But the universe is still radiation dominated all the way in the usual way.
Yes. So we have standard BBM, so there's no problems.
Can you estimate the abundance now?
Excuse me?
He imposed that.
Huh?
That's the valid abundance. He imposed that it gives you the right dark matter.
Oh.
Yeah, so we have
a
choice.
Like,
but these parameters are also required from other requirements, so we have we can make consistent requirements, many requirements, but they are consistent, which is we found. That's they are consistent.